Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of prayer, for being able to come to you with all that's on our hearts. In the midst of all of our busyness, in the midst of all of our worries, Lord, you find ways to speak to us. We ask you, Lord, that our ears and hearts are open to hear your word now, to hear you speak to us where we need to be spoken to, by encouraging us or by challenging us. Whatever it takes, help us to draw closer to you. We pray for your blessing and mercy to be upon the reading and expounding of this word, that it is what you want us to hear. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 3, 15 to 17 and 21 to 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to unite the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from him, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a great admiration for people. I love people. I love hearing their stories. I love hearing what they've been through. I love hearing where they come from. Because I believe, much like my sister does, that for every person I meet in life, I get to learn a little bit more about God and God's love and how that's revealed to certain people. Some of my favorite kind of people in the world, you know how they say opposites attract? How many of you, when thinking of that, look at your spouse and think, oh yeah, opposites attract. Stephanie and I, we have our differences. Many of them are laughably so, but I do think in many ways opposites attract. So oftentimes what it is we admire in others is what we find lacking in ourselves. You know, we wish we can attain something we don't feel we do, and so we admire those who are able to do that. And so I admire those who are able to show great passion for something, with exuberance and with energy. Now, I'm passionate about many things too, but my passion is oftentimes low-key. And so you can think of people in your lives or who you know who have great passion for many things. Right now in the life of this church, when I think of people with passion, I think of Drake, who has phenomenal passion. And when whatever it is that he's passionate about, you know very clearly what it is that he's passionate about, because he's not afraid to tell you. It's a beautiful thing. Right now, if you have the opportunity, ask him about George. George is his monkey that he's been carrying around and who was with us and was looking in the baptism bowl while we were talking about baptism. Passion is wonderful. One of the things about passion that I love so much is, in order to have passion, you have to know exactly what it is that you like. People with passion, they know what they like, and they're not afraid to tell anyone about it. Whatever it is, for Drake, it's George at the moment. But for John the Baptist, it was telling people about the Messiah who is yet to come. It was letting people know that God desires of them a new life, a new start. God desires from people obedience and love. This was John's passion and John's drive. And he wasn't afraid who he told. He wasn't afraid who knew it. He stood by his passion tooth and nail. Marrow and bone. He loved it. But not only did he love it, he knew that that's who he was. And he knew it without a doubt. So much so, and this is what I think is so important about John. People were looking at John and were admiring his passion and his energy. And they said to him, John, you could be the Messiah. You could be the one to lead us into this new era, into this new life. But the important thing of knowing who you are and what drives you is knowing who you're not. And John knew who he wasn't. He knew he wasn't the Messiah. He knew that he wasn't to be the person to lead them into the new era. He knew he wasn't the person who was going to change the world like the Messiah was. And he said as much. John's passion was able to be bridled in such a way that he lived who he was, and he allowed people to live who they were. And that he didn't put falseness in his character, but took the mantle that God gave him and lived it to the best of his ability. I love this about John. For those of you who read the devotion for Advent, there was a little blurb in there about John, I believe. And in that blurb about John, he has this a line later on in the gospel of which I love absolutely and completely. And in my life, it is such a challenge, this line. And John sent some disciples, some of his disciples, over to Jesus to ask him if, because he's in prison and he's despondent, you know, he's worried, and he sends his disciples over to Jesus and said, are you really the one? And Jesus said, tell John what you see and that I am the one. And when John was then questioned, he said, in order for him to increase, I must decrease. Because John's life wasn't just to fulfill John's desire, but John's life was to point to Christ. And he wanted people to see Christ in absolutely every part of life. One of the people I admire so completely in my life, she accidentally called me just the other day, and it was nice talking to her. I've mentioned her before. Her name's Eileen Mosley. Eileen Mosley, at the age of 83 years old, was riding her riding lawnmower. She cut her own grass up to 83, and she was riding her riding lawnmower and hit a bump. And she fell off her riding lawnmower, and her foot got jammed underneath the mower, and it ran over her leg, cutting off half of her foot. As Eileen was getting better and being surrounded by love and the Spirit of God, I was sitting with her in the therapy room. She was doing therapy. She had prosthetic on. And I said, Eileen, do you realize now that how true your name is? Because she leaned now. She laughed. She was the kind of person who would laugh at that. She looked at me and she said, Pastor, I want you to know something. She said, I have experienced God's blessing so much more now than I ever have in my life. She's able to look at this near tragedy in her life and not see the fact that she was missing a leg. I mean, she saw it very clearly, but she's able to see God's blessing within the midst of it. Because that was Eileen. That was her character. She knew who she was, but she also knew who she wasn't. And she lived in that role of who she was with great passion and great vigor that it inspired all those around her who knew her to live better and to seek for themselves who God created them to be. So I pray that this season, this year, as we look forward to the new year, that we're able to do that, to look at John, to look at people in our lives like Eileen or whoever that she is for you, because I know you have someone who inspired you in your life, to be able to take a look at our lives and to be able to live who we are, who God created us to be with passion and with love and to embrace it with such fullness that people are able to see Christ in us and through us by our living and by our lives. We know whose we are. We belong to Jesus. But who are we? Live that, because Christ created you to do just that. And I'm excited for what the world might bring and what joy and love we may bring to others through Christ in us and through us. And we thank God for that.